welcome everybody. It's time again for the Pedego Podcast. As we explore the e-bike revolution with those riding along and the entrepreneurs driving it as well. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. And today, well, have we got one for you today. I keep saying we can't top the last one, but I think we did today here. We don't just have a couple that takes their e-bike out for a weekend or even a week. They've been wandering the world for, I think, for a couple of years now here. They packed up their kids into an RV and put a couple of e-bikes along, and they're seeing America. Welcome to the Pedego Podcast, the Wanderpreneur family. Welcome, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Paul.
The Wanderpreneurs. I've heard of entrepreneurs. We even talk about the entrepreneurs behind this movement, but I didn't know there were any Wanderpreneurs in the e-bike revolution. How did you become the Wanderpreneurs?
Well, we happen to be entrepreneurs that like to wander and travel. And so we kind of put those two terms together and the Wanderpreneurs were born.
Yeah, we kind of put it together because we knew as we traveled, we wanted to document it, mostly for friends and family, because we didn't have these huge aspirations. So we're just like, all right, we need a social media handle and maybe a blog. And we just kind of put those words together. And it's been a 3-year passion project now.
Well, it's a clever combination. I will never forget it. The Wanderpreneurs as they wander America and before we go any further, I'm so excited with the name Wanderpreneurs. Let's reveal the people behind the Wanderpreneurs. Introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you did before you started wandering America.
Yeah, well, my name's Aaron, my wife Lauren, and our two kids, Kaysen and Callista. They're 10 years old and 8 years old. And before we started wandering, we were in Atlanta, Georgia suburbs, just living life. We both had our own companies. Kids were in sports, kids were in school, and we just got super busy with life, everyday life. Really good things, but our family just started growing apart. We weren't together as much, and we just really started missing that a lot. We just kind of had the idea of, why don't we hit the reset button on life, travel for a year. We could still work on the road. Kids were at that point, 5 and 7? So we could easily homeschool them for a year. And let's just take an epic family trip. Go visit my family out west, go see some sites, some national parks, and then come back and just kind of, you know, start over again. But after about 3 or 4 months, that really, we really started noticing, I don't know if we're going to go back. We really loved it after 3 or 4 months.
And
3 years later, we're still going.
So, Lauren, weren't you a little scared packing up the kids for an extended road trip? I can't imagine traveling with my daughter when she was younger for more than a couple of hours on the road.
I didn't really know what to expect. I wouldn't say I was scared. I was anxious and really excited because I didn't have many expectations. I didn't know what it was going to be like, but I love change. I love trying new things. So I was more excited than anything.
And how did the kids react to this when you said, let's go see something? Okay, cool. Let's see something for like a couple of months, a couple of years. I don't know. How did they react to that?
They were pretty excited. They did have a few hesitations. They said, well, are we going to miss our friends? And I said, well, you probably will miss your friends, but you're going to make a lot of new friends. We're going to meet friends everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And that did prove to be true. And so now they have friends all over the United States, and we actually meet up with them over and over again. So we have no shortage of friends as we travel. It's been great.
All right. So you started off just to see some things and try and bring the family back together. Because I'm assuming, like most modern suburban families, it's hard to have dinner together. It's hard to get everybody together. I got soccer practice. No, I'm going over to somebody's house. No, I'm working late. I got to do this. And pretty soon we're not together at all. And you said, reset. Let's start over again. Let's get them in an RV where we got no choice but to be together. Did you start bonding or did you start coming apart like, oh my God, I can't get away from these people?
I really think that we started bonding. I mean, even right away, the kids had always been very close since they were very young. They're close in age and they had just had a really sweet relationship. But as they were getting older, they were starting to drift apart, but it just came right back together once we hit the road. I think it's been a great experience. I mean, we've had to learn how to take time away when we need to just go on a drive or go on a walk. You know, we have to set aside time for ourselves as a couple, for ourselves individually. And as long as we do that, it's really great.
Well, we're going to bring e-bikes into the story here because that's part of the adventure and the journey here as you picked up some e-bikes along the way. But I just got to ask you a couple more questions because this is amazing. I mean, you have done what all of us sort of dream about, being vagabonds, being gypsies. I'm just going to drop out. When I was a kid, you know, Jack Kerouac and I read about, you know, just getting on the road again. Willie Nelson on the road again here. But none of us ever do this. We've got houses. We've got careers. We've got family. We've got responsibilities. Was it hard to let go?
It really wasn't. And I think maybe if we would have overthought it, it might have turned out to be hard. But from the day we had the idea to actually hitting the road, driving out of our neighborhood, it was like 3 months. We sold 90% of our things, sold both of our cars, bought a truck, bought an RV, renovated the RV, found a renter for our house. And 3 months later, we were gone. Wow. And so we were just so focused on the end date that, no, we weren't worried about anything. we were just excited.
And did you think this was for a while or for forever?
Originally, it was going to be a one-year trip. We said, let's just see as much of the United States as we can in 1 year. But quickly into that 1 year, we had fallen in love with it so much. We said, there's no way you can see the United States in a year. We have to keep going. We were meeting other families that were doing this too. And we had no idea how many other families with young children were also doing this.
Amazing. Really amazing. I'd love to, I wonder, you know, there is I think they call it the Good Sam's Club, the Good Samaritans, and there's, which is mostly seniors who've retired, empty nesters who do the same thing. But I've never heard of young couples doing this. Although now, as we mentioned offline, at our studio, we've interviewed another couple doing this. Is this suddenly a movement that it's not being covered? Are more and more people just dropping out and hitting the road?
Big time.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you look on Facebook groups, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of family RVers that are just asking questions, looking to get on the road or asking about, you know, where to go, what to travel and what to go see. It's like a huge movement, even from 3 years ago to now. It's just crazy how many more families are doing it.
And after COVID, when more and more jobs went remote, you know, all these people are working remotely. They don't have to go into an office every day. So especially after COVID, even more and more people are doing it.
Well, you answered the question I was starting to ask. Has COVID accelerated this as we were all forced to stay home? Why do I have to stay in this home? My home could be mobile. I could move the home around. I don't have to sit on my couch and wait for the world to be safe again here. All right, so somewhere along the way, you picked up an e-bike. Did you start off with e-bikes, or where did you discover e-bikes to add to the adventure?
Yeah, so we had normal bikes, just like cheap bikes. We would grab at like Goodwill or Walmart. You know, biking wasn't huge for us. We did enjoy it, but it wasn't like our main thing. We did a lot of hiking and kayaking and, you know, all of those things. But the whole time we were traveling, I kept thinking, I wish we could bike more. Like, this is a great path. It's a great hill. It's a great area. But but we just didn't. And I had in the back of my head for years that an e-bike would make this epic. But we just never really jumped into it until we ran into a Pedego tent at the Quartzsite RV show.
Yeah.
The Quartzsite RV show in Arizona.
How about it?
Brian, who owns the La Quinta Palm Springs stores, was there with a few other store owners and got to meet him, got to test drive some bikes. And I really think the first time you ride an e-bike is like that memory you'll never forget. I really think that because as we let people borrow our e-bikes, I can see the smile on their face. And I think they're going to remember that forever. I'll remember that forever.
I think you are listening too many of our past podcasts because that story pops up over and over again. And I'm like, come on, really? Is it that guaranteed to put a smile on your face? But I rode one. I had it happen. The dealers come on and say, hey, they can almost watch the clock and tell you when the smile's going to emerge. Doesn't take long. Or they watch the people come back. And everybody who's been on the show who owns a bike, whether it's a Pedego or not, comes back and says, man, this is fun. We had William Shatner on the show for Pete's sake. He's 90. And I kept saying, why are you riding a bike, any kind of bike at 90? He said, because it's fun.
Uh-huh. Yep. And I just knew an e-bike would open up more doors for adventure for us. Like, we're all about experiences over things. Mm-hmm. And obviously e-bikes are things, but they produce experiences. And so, you know, they're an investment. But for us, as we travel, it's just another thing to do. We don't just have to kayak and hike these epic trails. We can now add biking into it. I've probably ridden more miles on my bike than I have the previous 10 years combined. because it's just so much fun.
And is it the fun, Lauren, or is it the ease with which you can do it, or does it extend the range, or maybe all of the above? What is the magic about an e-bike that makes it even more fun?
Well, for us, since our kids, we have younger kids, I think the reason that we didn't bike more was just because the kids could not keep up with us. They didn't have the stamina that we had.
Right.
And so when we started looking into the e-bikes, tried them out, we said, oh, kids, you need to try this out and see. And now they can keep up with us. We can go on much longer bike rides than we ever could before. Before, we just didn't see the point in going on a 1 mile bike when then the kids get tired. But yeah, now exactly. They can go for hours. I mean, we spend all day out biking and no one gets tired because of that, the e-bike, which makes it so much more fun and enjoyable for the whole family.
And how do they react to it? Because maybe I'm talking out of turn here, but I get the feeling from talking to Don DeCostanza and others that have in that early e-bike evolution, that revolution that started out of putting a motor on a bike. I don't think they had kids in mind originally. I think they were thinking of me, aging baby boomers that need a little help going up and down the hill. That's what Don said. I love going down the hill. I hated coming back up the hill. So that's what gave birth to the idea in his head. But more and more in my neighborhood, 2-3 years ago, I never saw a kid with an e-bike. Now every kid seems to have an e-bike. Talk about that. How do the kids react to it?
Yeah, Kaysen loves it. He thinks it's the coolest thing ever. He has the black Element with the fat tires, and all his friends think it's really cool. And the hard part is all of his friends want to ride it. And as long as they're tall enough, I don't mind them, especially if their parents are there and kind of help. But yeah, the hard part is they all want to ride it. So we have to be kind of careful in who we let ride, and we don't want any crashes.
Right.
But he loves it. Calista's still learning to love it, mainly because of the size. You know, they're a little heavier bikes, and she's an 8-year-old. She can easily keep up now on long bike rides, but I think as she grows up a little bigger, gets a little stronger, it'll be easier for her to do it just on a daily basis. They both really do love just being able to throttle and go, or, you know, go up a hill with ease.
Yeah. Right.
And
I'm not trying to sell more e-bikes for Pedego. God knows they sell enough already here, but, you know, have you ever thought of having different bikes for different occasions? That's what William Shatner said. Now, of course, he's William Shatner. He's got multiple homes and bikes and everything, but he uses one kind of in the city, he uses one on the trails, he uses one other places. Is that even within the realm of possibility? You have different e-bikes for different things, or you just make one bike work everywhere?
It just depends on what you have room for. I mean, you know, we live tiny, so we actually got two of the Elements, which are the fat tires, and then we've got two Latch bikes, mm-hmm. which fold up, which that's perfect for us.
See?
Because two of them fold, and we put them right in the RV. So we needed to do that for space. But as we have tried out the two different ones in different areas, we find that the fat tire bikes, we love taking those off road.
Yes.
You know, we can take those through the dirt and the gravel. And then the two Latch bikes are great for the city roads. So sometimes Aaron and I will just take it out, and we'll take out whichever one, whichever type of trail we're going on. And so, yeah, we love having the flexibility of having two different types. That's great.
Now, I got to ask you the question, and it's okay if you say no, but so far I've been stunned how many Pedego owners, when they're traveling with their Pedego electric bike, stop at another store and check in. Have you ever thought of doing that, or have you ever done that as you wander America?
So we've tried, and actually, and that's a great thing about the stores is, you know, I need repairs. I'll pop two of my tires because I take them off roading so much.
Right.
And so I have to pump them up every time. So I'm just going to go to we're in Las Vegas right now. I'm just going to head to the one in Henderson, Nevada, and have them, you know, fix it up for us. So we've actually visited a few, but they happen to be closed. We tend to go out, you know, after we get done with work and school. And then when we go into the town, they're already closed.
So
it's not a big deal. But yeah, we have been to the Palm Springs and La Quinta to visit Brian. He was such a great experience, our first experience with Pedego. And so make a point whenever we're in Palm Springs to go visit him.
Well, and one of the reasons we had, because I think this is bizarre, I own a Chrysler. I don't stop at the other Chrysler dealers as I travel around the state. Hey, just check it in to see how you're doing. I bought my refrigerator at Sears. I don't stop in at the other Sears store and say, hey, just, you know, wanted to hang out with some other Sears owners here. But one of the people on the show actually had a really good reason that didn't occur to me at first. If you're traveling, chances are the Pedego e-bike dealer, the electric bike dealer, they're either leading groups or they're in touch with groups who are riding around the area. So where can we ride? go check out the people who are riding that town. I thought that makes sense. But there is a certain, is it a community? I mean, do you guys have a special salute when you pass by the campground and somebody else has got a Pedego? I don't know. This is sort of like Harley owners, Harley Davidson owners. They all have some special bond here. Yeah.
So we're actually so much out in the middle of nowhere. We don't see many other people a lot of times. Okay. But no, we'll see Pedegos like on the back of someone's Jeep. And we just always kind of see if like the owners are around. Because we would love to talk Pedego a little bit. So it is exciting when you see other Pedegos and it would be great to do that. We just travel so much and so often. Now that we're in Vegas for a few months, I'm going to head to the dealership local. The community part, I think, would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, check out.
There's a Facebook group. Yeah, there's a Facebook group, and I'm a member of the Pedego Facebook group. And so people are always talking about rides they go on. And it is like a little community. You know, we help each other with questions someone might have or any advice about different things. And I love posting in the group about places we ride and everything. So it really is like a little community.
Now, when you ride, is it just about getting there or is it about the experience along the way? Because we've had a number of people say, just getting out on a bike, they had forgotten any kind of bike, but particularly an e-bike where you can go longer. You start to relax. You start to look around. You smell, you touch, you hear, which we don't when we're driving around, which you don't when you're driving around in the RV. Talk about that. Is it a different experience? You're trying to experience the world. Do you experience it different on an e-bike?
Yeah, because we are excited to get out on that bike instead of just driving somewhere, we do it for the experience. Like one of our favorite spots was in Yosemite and just driving through the Yosemite Valley. We could just drive through it, but we got the bikes, brought them in and just enjoyed the huge mountains and the bike trails. And that's a memory I'll never forget. It's definitely just about the experience of just being able to be outside, enjoying it, and getting exercise, but also not having to get exercise.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I drove through Yosemite Valley in a car. I checked that off my bucket list. It wasn't really that exciting because there was a lot of cars around and I'm trying people and everything here. And occasionally I looked out the window and said, oh, look, that's, you know, whatever it is, Half Dome or something here. I would suspect you see the world differently in the back of a bike than you do from inside a closed car or RV. What do you think about that, Lauren? Has your experience changed? Does it help to get out in the world, not just to walk, but to ride?
Oh, 100%. I mean, another place that we love riding is Red Rock Canyon right here in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And there's a scenic drive, and we had done the scenic drive many times. But then when we got on our bikes and did it on the bikes, I mean, just seeing those red rock mountains right there, I mean, it was a totally different experience, just having the wind blowing in our hair. And I mean, that's my favorite way to visit Red Rock now. I'll never be able to just go drive the scenic drive. It's just a totally different, beautiful experience to be on a bike and do it.
So when this ride is over, will you settle down and just pick some place? Or is this ride your new life? You're just gypsies, and this is the way your kids are going to be raised.
That's a great question, and we talk about it a lot. And right now, I cannot imagine settling down in one spot and staying in one spot just because I think we've gotten spoiled in the last 3 years. I feel like if I was to settle down in the desert, which I love the desert, I would miss the ocean. If I was to settle down in a beach house, I would long to be at the mountains or in the desert. And so right now we're just having the time of our lives traveling, and maybe in the future we'll feel differently. But if anything, I could see the most likely scenario, maybe being seasonal in different spots, maybe spend, one season in the desert, one season in the mountains, something like that.
Because when you travel right now, Aaron, is it got to go, got to get somewhere in 2 hours? And damn it, we're going to have a good time. We've got to see these four things. I don't know if I'm ever going to see them again. Like, oh, I'm tired. Can't we just stop? Can't we just sleep? Can't we just take a walk? No, we've got 12 more things we got to see. That's the way my trips have always been. And they're usually... And then at some point along the family revolts and says, knock it off. Let's just stop. Mm-hmm. What do you guys do? Do you just stop and wander, or do you have a plan that you've got to see so many things in so many days?
We always have a plan, but this lifestyle in general is so much more flexible and laid back. You can readjust. You can change at a drop of a hat because you don't have all the commitments. You know, we don't have a week of vacation that we can't just.
That's true.
You know, we have to go back and back home and get back to real life. If we like a place, we stay longer. If we want to just get out of town and do something different, then we do it. And I think that's pretty eye opening when we meet other people too. It's like, we're willing to sit there and talk for 30 minutes and they're like, oh, you probably have to get going. You're probably busy. It's like, no, we're really good. We're happy to keep talking about Pedego. And that's actually having people talk about our bikes. They're asking all these questions about our bikes. They're like, oh, I don't want me to bother you. You probably have stuff to do. It's like, no, we're fine.
No, we'll talk about this. That's a different way of traveling than I saw growing up, or that I did in most of my life. We had a small amount of time and a lot of ground to cover, or a lot of things to see. Now, maybe we went and just planted ourselves on a beach in Hawaii and sat there for a week. I never liked those kind of trips because I always want, we're here, we've come this far. Don't we want to see this and this and this and this? And everybody say, no, we're here to relax. But I think too often the trip isn't relaxing because you think, I'm never going to be here again. I only got a couple of days to do this. And you try and cram it all in. You try and see all of Europe in 1 week. It doesn't work that way, folks. And all you do is burn yourself out and turn yourself off to taking any more trips. That idea of stopping, talk about that. I've never been on a trip and just said, let's just stop here for a couple. Wait a minute, I got reservations and I got a hotel and I got no, let's just stop here. Well, how do you decide when and where to stop?
I feel like we've become a lot more relaxed. When we first hit the road, we were still in that mindset of, you know, being very scheduled and we have to do this and that. But the longer we're on the road, it really does relax you. And since we don't have a timeline on this, that, you know, right. We don't just have 1 year. We don't even have to. We have as many years as we want to do this. That gives us the assurance of knowing, let's do this for a little bit, but then, you know, I don't know. There's just so much freedom and flexibility in this lifestyle that we just don't sweat the small stuff. If we don't get to see everything there is to do in one place, we say, that's okay. We'll come back next year.
We'll come back.
Yeah.
So. Well, it's a whole nother way of looking at the world. Not just, I'm not just looking out my front window anymore, and I'm not looking out my front windshield anymore as I'm trying to race through the rest of the world. You're really experiencing and living it place by place here. Is there a site? And is any place can people follow along with your journey? Can we all vicariously wander the world with the wanderpreneurs here?
Yeah. We love sharing and just encouraging people to do what they're passionate about. And so I think too many people felt pigeonholed in their current life, like the standard American dream. Yeah. So we share a lot. The wanderpreneurs.com is our website. It's our blog mostly. And then we also are on Instagram and Facebook and a little bit on YouTube. But YouTube's a lot of work. So
and spell it for those that can't spell here.
Yeah, so it's just the, T-H-E, and then the word wander, W-A-N-D-E-R, and then the last half of the word entrepreneur. So W-A-N-D-E-R-P-R-E-N-E-U-R-S.
I'm looking at Lauren laughing here as you're trying to spell it out. She's saying, is he going to make it through it?
Yeah. Forever to even learn how to spell it. But
the Wanderpreneurs. Well, I hope you will stop in and see us when you wander this way. And I hope we can catch up with you down the road, because I'd love to hear more about the adventures you're seeing. We're just meeting you and trying to wrap our heads around, could anybody really do this? Not when you're 20 and you're backpacking through Europe. Not when you're 70 and you've saved up $1 billion and you got nothing else to do. You're doing it in the prime of your life with the kids, probably at the best time in their life, when they're the most open to experience and see the world. They're not tied into soccer practice or other things that probably happen later on. You really have taken a big leap of faith, and I give my hats off to you, because I wish I had done something like that many years ago. So maybe I'll just follow along. Like on this podcast, people follow these amazing journeys. We'll find some other little byways to wander along with you here too.
Oh yeah, we love it.
And do you go just to big cities, or you go down little rabbit holes? Do you go down that street? I wonder what's down over there, and you just start driving? Or is there always, you know, no, we got to get to Pittsburgh, we got to get to Vegas, we got to get somewhere? I'll ask that one last question here.
Well, when we're towing, that we have a 42-foot fifth wheel. So that's a big thing. So when we're towing, we always have a plan of where we need to get. But once we're parked somewhere, we explore the area with our truck. We go off-road. We go, and sometimes it's cities, but more times than not, we're in just beautiful, more remote places. Yep.
National parks. Small towns. Just scenic areas. Yeah. But we like both. We really do enjoy both.
Well, I'm anxious to see the Instagram pictures and to read about the blog and to learn more. I hope you'll come back and join us again here on the Pedago podcast here. Thanks so much for joining us, the Wanderpreneurs.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. If that's not an amazing story, I don't know what is. They didn't just decide to go out and see more of America. They decided to live in America and to see all of it, one ride at a time, with Pedago along for the ride, right here in the Pedago podcast on Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.